When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, last Sunday we celebrated the ascension of our Lord into heaven. And I like the story I heard. It's an imaginary story perhaps, but it could have a great deal of truth in it. A legend about the ascension, that as our Lord Jesus Christ was ascending into the heaven at the Father's right hand, that the angel Gabriel intercepts him. He asked our Lord, "What are you going to do to ensure the fact that the truth you brought into the world will continue to spread throughout the earth?" And Jesus said, "You know what I did. I called some tax collectors and fishermen as I carried out my Father's will." "Yes, I know about that," said Gabriel, "but what other plans have you made?" "Well, you know what I did. I taught Peter, James, and John about the coming of the kingdom of God. I healed many. All of them were there to witness and hear the preaching and the teachings." "Yes, Lord, but surely you have some other plan in mind. You're not going to simply rely on those disciples to tell the story to everyone, are you? You certainly remember how unreliable they proved themselves to be at the hour of your arrest in the garden." "Peter, who said that he would go to prison for you. Peter, that said he would gladly suffer a martyr's death for you. He ends up vehemently denying you three times. And one of those times, St. Matthew tells us that he threw in a few choice cuss words to strengthen his denial. How different were they, really, from Judas, who a few hours before this had betrayed you for a few pieces of silver? Surely you must have other plans to make sure your work was not in vain." Jesus quietly replies to Gabriel, "No, I have no other plan. I'm depending on them." You know, and the church did. In the next 300 years, certainly turned the whole world upside down. But as you read the book of Acts, you can see how that very dispirited band of Jesus' followers became a mighty force in testimony to the gospel, of which we join St. Paul in saying today, "I'm not ashamed." Because it's the very power of God unto salvation for all who believe, for all who trust in him, yes, to the Jews first, but also to the Greeks. You see, Jesus had given them the Great Commission. It was one of his last post-resurrection experiences. You read about it in the 28th chapter of Matthew. The risen Lord appears, and Matthew, I'm grateful, who's always so honest, he tells that many of the disciples who were there, they worshiped our Lord, but there were some who doubted. There are always people like you and me, people sometimes whose faith grows weak. That needs to be strengthened constantly in the gathered Christian community together as God strengthens our faith, not only in his word and sacrament, through the presence of one another. You know, Jesus knew, though, that there was no way that they would effectively proclaim that message to the world in the limited strength of their own human power. And so on the day that he ascends into heaven, as we heard last Sunday, he said, "Now I want you guys to hang around in Jerusalem a while longer. For not many days from now, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist baptized you with water, but you're going to be baptized with fire." And then in fulfillment of that ancient prophecy, it happened that they were sitting in that upper room probably one more time together when there was this sound of the rushing wind. Pneuma in Greek. Ruah in the Hebrew. And then suddenly there was visible to all this mighty ball of fire that was coming down from heaven, and it was put into various cloven tongues of flame that each rested upon the apostles' head. These apostles, many of whom were not all that highly educated, fishermen and the like, they all began to preach the gospel in languages which they had never spoken before. And the call of God was there for them to go, but to wait, and wait until they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and go out into all the world and preach the liberating good news that sins are fully forgiven because of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. You know, we are here celebrating Pentecost today because the reason the message is still being told is because those disciples obeyed the Lord. And remember how Jesus says on the night before he died, he said, you know, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. I and the Father will come to you and will make our home with you. We don't always talk as much as we should, perhaps, about the call of obedience that God gives to us as Christians. Of course, we exalt above all other things that Christ is the one who was fully obedient to the law of God on our behalf. But having received this new life of forgiveness and grace and being filled with the Spirit of God, so that we can say with St. Paul in Romans 8 that all those who are led by the Spirit of God are indeed the children of God, we need to be obedient to God's call, to God's direction. It was Joyce Meyer who wrote in one of her books, "When we obey God, we're blessed." She said, "People miss out on many blessings because they don't obey what God clearly tells them to do. God lays out a good plan for each of our lives, but God wants a people who will obey him, and his wants people who will obey him quickly." There they were, and what did they do? They went to the temple. They hung around in Jerusalem, not simply for a matter of 10 hours, not simply for a matter of 10 minutes, but for the whole 10 days, there they were, hungering and thirsting for God. There they were, hungering and longing for God when the Holy Spirit indeed was poured out upon them, and they received that gift. I like what St. Paul says several times in the New Testament when he's talking to Christians. He says to the Thessalonians, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Do not quench the Holy Spirit, but hold fast to what is good." In Ephesians, he talks about us as Christians being careful that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, you know, that the love of Christ controls us because we are convinced of this, that one died for all, and he died for all, so that we who live might live no longer for just ourselves, but for him who died and was raised again on our behalf. But don't receive the grace of God in vain. Let the Holy Spirit still do his thing in your life and my life today. That, of course, in the face of God's commandments, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Peter was preaching, and it was in his preaching that the Holy Spirit fell upon 3,000 people who were there that day. And you know what he said. He said to the Jewish people, "You guys acted in ignorance when you crucified the Lord of glory. But God raised him from the dead, and of that we're all witnesses." And Peter's word was so incisive, like the writer of Hebrews says, when the word of God is what the word of God really is, and is proclaimed as the word of God, it's like a knife that cuts into the very center of a person's body. It separates bone from marrow. You know what they said at the end of his sermon, "Brothers, what must we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent of your sins, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that is promised not only to you, but also to your children." You know, what does Pentecost mean for us today. There's many answers we could give. I believe one of the best answers I could give to you was found in a little daily devotional book I came across. I was pastor here, I guess, in September 2002, and one day I was at Lexington Hospital. I was waiting for a person who was having surgery, and I picked up a little daily devotional book that was there, you know, much like our portals of prayer, except that daily devotional book for September the 7th, Saturday, 2002, was entitled The Word of the Lord for Today. And in it, it tells the story of how a young man was graduating from college. And upon his graduation from college, he was certainly hoping that his father was going to give him the gift of a new sports car that he had been asking for. After the graduation ceremonies and the festivities over, the mom and dad went back to the house, and the dad, this very wealthy man, called the son into his study and handed him a beautifully wrapped present. It was his graduation gift. And when the young man opened the gift, it was obviously in a box about 7 inches tall, about 5 inches wide. As he took the cover off the box, he could easily discern that it was a leather-bound Bible with his full name inscribed on the front page. And what was his reaction? He took that Bible and he flung it on his father's desk. With all the money that you have, Dad, this is all you could afford to give me this day. And their relationship had been estranged for quite some time, and so that they had the song for the son, it was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. He no longer was speaking to his father. He came home a couple years later briefly when his mother had died. But then a few years later, the father had died. And who would have thunk? But the father continued to leave the bulk of his estate to his son, who came to the house and was going through things and happened to come across that Bible that was the graduation gift that he had never opened before. He opened it and it fell to a passage that his father had underlined for him from Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Holy God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And then as he was reading that passage, there was a car key on a little string with the dealer's name at the top that fell out of the Bible. And he had scribbled a little note on that that said, debt paid in full, along with the gift of the Holy Spirit, along with the gift of faith, comes the great gift of love. And yet that son, unfortunately, had missed out on the whole thing. Yes, the Holy Spirit came in the fire and the wind, but the Holy Spirit above all came to those 3,000 people who asked to be baptized when the word of Christ. You know what he said? You acted in ignorance when you crucified the Lord of glory, but God raised him from the dead, and of that we're all witnesses. The Holy Spirit. That's what the Pentecost hymns are all about. Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord, with all your graces now outpoured. Holy Ghost, light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. We pray continuously today for the gift of the Holy Spirit, because it's only in that power that we can witness. And isn't that why so many people answer the call of God at times to teach and preach the Word of God in the church? I don't know if you noticed, but there's a little notice in the olive seeds today reminding us that the teachers who faithfully teach Sunday school all the way from September through May are deserving of a little break. And would you consider teaching Sunday school class, you know, for June, July, and August? And, you know, I think a lot of people could just say, that can't be for me, you know. No way that message could be for me. Those people don't need a break. They do it, you know, September through May. They can certainly teach in June, July, and August as well. But would you pray to the Holy Spirit? I mean, would you consider teaching a Sunday school class for the children or the youth during those 3 months of the summer. You know, we are grateful that our Lord Jesus Christ called our preschool into being, and following his resurrection, it was Jesus who asked Peter one day, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then feed my lambs." He asked a second time, "Lord, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then tend my sheep." The third time, three times the question was asked to correspond to the threefold denial of Peter. But the answer to the question for the church is that those who are empowered by the Spirit and love the Lord Jesus Christ will teach his word not only to the older folks, but also to the very young. And it's in that call also that we began the Christian preschool here at Mount Olive 10 years ago. And it was in that desire to show her love for the Lord that Krista accepted our call to be a director of the preschool. And we give thanks not only for the excellent job that she's done administering all the affairs of the preschool, but those who know Krista know that she certainly is full of the love of Jesus Christ, and she's full of the Holy Spirit. It's the way that she responds to children. It's the way that she's responded to the parents, to all of us. We certainly see her as one whose love the Lord has given her. You know, children who are in the preschool age, they sometimes begin to learn a few little jokes that they can tell. You know, they're always those infamous knock-knock jokes. Maybe you heard the one that the little four-year-old told. Knock, knock, who's there? Pizza. Pizza who? Pizza, really great guy. Or maybe you heard the one of the four-year-old told about knock, knock, who's there? A little old lady who, I didn't know that you could yodel. Knock, knock, who's there? Figs. Figs who? Fix your doorbell, it's broken. But little children in the preschool have learned that the Lord Jesus, in all seriousness, knocks on the door of the little hearts, even as he does ours today. If anyone hears me knocking on the door of their heart and opens the door, I will come in and be made one with you, and you with me. And so may the light of Christ continue to shine forth on all. We pray God's blessings on Krista and Matt and their family as they accept new challenges in Florida. And may the peace of the Lord give us all joy. In Jesus' name, again this day and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.